Hey everyone, welcome to Podcast Insider. Glad to be back. We're some with my co-host, Mr. Mike Dell. How you doing, Mike?
Yeah, you almost said Rob too, I think.
Yeah, I almost did a half breath there. You too many co-hosts on too many shows, there but hey, it's good to be back here on Podcast Insider. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to do some news. We're going to talk about a best practice. We've got some blueberry stuff that's really important to talk about. And then we've got an interview with Scotty Moore from the BS Network. So that should be fun, and some support stuff. So, Mike, you had McKenzie, or was it Angelo on last week?
Yeah, I had Angelo on as my co-host, and we got a little geeky. So maybe this week will be a little less geeky.
All right. Well, outstanding. So Spotify, man, they just continue to dominate the news. There was another news story today about how they want to rule the world in podcasting. But they've introduced a new product called a daily podcast playlist. So what's the skinny on that?
Yeah, it's just like, you know, if you're listening to music on Spotify, they have an algorithm that goes in and picks out songs you might be interested in, and then they have this thing called the Daily Mix that it does for you. Well, now they're applying that to podcasts. So if you listen to podcasts routinely in the Spotify app, it will decide some other podcast episodes that you might want to check out, and it makes a playlist for you.
I wonder what it suggests when you don't listen to nothing on Spotify.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet. I am a Spotify subscriber, so and I don't listen to podcasts on it generally, so yeah. We'll see.
Maybe I continue
by music, maybe.
To be a big Pandora and Apple Music user. So anyway, well, that's good. Those of you that are out there using the Spotify app to listen to podcasts or listening to this show on Spotify, let us know how your these suggestions are. Is it giving you shows that you think you should be listening to, or is it more of a commercial play to try to push you try to listen to some of the internal shows? I'm always, you know, I always have a little bit of leeriness, because I just always wonder if there's some agenda in, you know, if it's hand curated or computer curated, and if there's any waiting factor for local, you know, for dedicated shows or not. So time will tell. But moving on here, Forbes says, and this guy I kind of laugh a little bit, says we're going mainstream.
Yep, podcast has gone mainstream. So we keep hearing that. We either hear it's going to die or it's going to get big.
Yeah, and so we haven't heard the die meme in probably 4 or 5 years, but you know the mainstream meme has been quite a few times. So Forbes is saying we're going mainstream. Have they said anything specific?
It doesn't really. It's kind of a general article. They talk about, you know, big media is getting into it, and you know, Spotify paid whatever to acquire a couple of companies, and you know, that kind of stuff. You know, just basically all the stuff we know. But it's interesting that Forbes is kind of getting on the bandwagon here.
Well, so anyway, we're all mainstream, and of course, most of you that are listening to this show are independent content creators. Right. So we've been mainstream for a while, right?
Oh, yes.
And of course, nothing else that should surprise any of us says the majority of podcast listeners listen to indie podcast. How yep. about that?
Well, right after that Forbes article, you know, it just makes sense that you know, there are more indie podcasters out there than there are big media by far. And you know, I always say the guy next to the water heater in the basement, you know, that's where the meat of this medium is, you know, for most of us, you know. And yeah, I listen to a few big shows. You probably listen to a few big shows, but for the most part, you're listening to the indie.
Yeah, I think that even though some of the big shows account for a lot of the, basically a lot of the, I guess, traffic, yeah, the small shows as a collective do many times more than those big shows will ever dream to do. So sure. I just think it's interesting that they had to re-verify that podcast listeners are listening to indie content, because we were an indie blew the space out to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
There was no one but indie podcasters in the beginning. Well, NPR kind of joined us pretty quick, but.
Yeah, but, and then think about the biggest podcast out there right now is Joe Rogan, and he's an indie.
That's right. And, you know, what's kind of funny, too, is that the big companies have kind of come and went. We've seen companies do two or three rounds of trying to start podcasts, and now they're back again. The question is, do they have the legs to do the longevity? That's what I always wonder, is if they don't scale enough, they don't get a big enough audience, do they make enough money? Are they going to continue, or are they going to abandon it again like they have in the past? So I think commercial podcasts, which we all want to see in the space because it helps us all grow, we want them to stay. But the indie podcasters continue to be, you know, a huge part of our bread and butter, and we don't look our, you know, we understand you are our community.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk a little bit about best practices. You know, we need to start a list of everything we've talked about, and I hope that I haven't talked about this topic before, but it came up in a consulting call. And for those of you that are Blueberry hosting customers, if you want to do a consult with me, I'm giving free consult calls. I have limited availability each week, but you'll go into the stack and you'll be sent an invite when I have availability, and usually 1 to 2 weeks out. It's a 30-minute time slot. You can email me todd@blueberry.com and that just say I want to do a consult, and make sure that you're a hosting customer. That is the key here, paying customer, pro hosting customer, so forth. But anyway, this best practice that came up was a lot of shows, Mike, are doing topical. Maybe they'll do an interview show with luminaries in a specific space. And let's just, you know, I'm just going to throw one out there. Maybe it's dog handling or dog training or something to do with pets. And they'll do 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 50, 100 interviews. And when I'm talking with them, there oftentimes a conversation will come up was, what are some things I can do to build my show? How do I grow my audience? And I always think that there's a book or two almost in every podcaster. And with the barrier to entry today to doing ebooks being nothing, I don't see why a podcaster that isn't doing interview shows and building content for an audience can't take a little bit from each of those interviews. Almost an interview could almost be a full chapter. And you could come up very easily once you have 50 to 100 episodes. You know, that could be a very significant book. And putting that together, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of work. But one thing you should also think about is if you're early in the game, is maybe think about writing your talking points for each chapter after each interview. You know, take the takeaway and, you know, have some information there that will say, that'll trigger you when you come back to do this project and you're going to say, I'm going to write a 200-page ebook, that you've got the crib notes already set up, and it makes writing really, really easy when you do that, and you can organize stuff real well. So it's all about doing things additional to what you do in your podcast to build your podcast, because authority is oftentimes has to be earned by many of us. When I started podcasting, and Mike, you too, we weren't in the media space, right?
No, not at all. And that, you know, the thing about it is repurpose your content. You know, if you can make written content, you can make, you know, some video content, you know, just to be, you know, to build up your credibility in all media. And, you know, you talk about this a lot in your presentations in the past, Todd, about getting on local media, getting on, you know, that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do, and a book is just one of them.
You know, and a book actually gives you an opportunity. Once it's done, then you go to the local newspaper, you go to local radio, you go to local television, and, you know, they're always looking for a little bit of public interest content, the local news is, you know, you're not going to probably get on national unless you have a, you know, a bestseller.
If you want to get up at 4:30 in the morning and go on the morning show of a local TV station, they love that kind of stuff, you know, local author, you know.
So it's just these little things you can do, and then you add that to your CV and the things you can talk about. So I've been on TV, been on radio, da 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 da. So anyway, there, and again, it's a good opportunity to to build your show. And I call that a best practice. And again, think about that as you're going through your content and making your content. So let's move into blueberry news. And Mike, I'm going to tell you, I'm really, really, really jazzed about our new Blueberry Pro production team.
Yeah, and it looks like quite the setup over there.
Yeah, and we're very, very excited about this. Now, this is a product that is designed for folks that are, number one, thinking about launching a show and are busy professionals, don't have the time, wants to get out of the gate quick and fast and have a team behind them, and or people that are looking to refresh and get some help on a number of shows. The production team has told me that the average podcaster spends about 10 hours doing their show with their prep, scheduling guests, editing that they're trying to do on their own right now, writing show notes, getting everything, all this stuff that goes into producing an episode. So if you think about that, what is your time worth? You know, what are those 10 hours worth to you? And for many busy people, many professionals, you think about where you work, that's time that you could be used researching and doing other things for your show. So the Blueberry Pro production team is here to help those of you that really are looking to go the next level or launching a new show and you've got maybe a business behind it, or maybe you're a busy professional again. It runs the gamut, and the pricing on it is definitely one that we've taken into consideration. But here's the thing about this package. You have a team, truly a team, that is going to be dedicated, that you're going to work with directly on the production of your show. And album art, bumpers, voiceover talent, work on advertising, the actual audio editing that's just one piece. All the things that you really could think about is covered in this Blueberry Pro production package. And we're really, really, really jazzed about this. And I think there's some huge potential for folks out there that are just kind of tired of doing the grind, you know, and or don't want to take on another project and they've got a show idea. So the link will be in the show notes. But for right now, we're actually in the middle of reprocessing some stuff on the website. The place to go is Blueberry Pro, BlueberryPro.com. You'll find information over there. You'll talk to the email addresses go to Blueberry team members, and you will find, and what I like about it, Mike, too, is that they work a lot in Slack. So each of the Blueberry Pro customers will get their own Slack channel, and in their Slack channel will be their entire team that they work with. So, we have worked on this for a while, and I think that it's just is another piece of us providing services to podcasters. So again, the Blueberry Pro service is something very unique. Because we're scaling up, we have limited number of spots initially in the first run. So if you're thinking about this, don't dilly dally. Get on it and check it out, because we want you to be part of it. Now, here's something that's interesting, Mike. Starting next week, this show is going to actually be produced by our Blueberry Pro production team. Makes sense, right?
Yeah, got to drink our own Kool-Aid.
So you and I are going to be edited for the first time, or the other team members are. And next week, we're actually having a special edition of Podcast Insider. Mike, you may not even know about this. We don't have to record next week because Mackenzie is going to do an interview tomorrow with the team members from the Blueberry Pro production team. Nice. At least Toby. She's going to have a conversation with Toby, and they're going to go through everything in detail. So next week's Podcast Insider will be talking purely about everything that you're going to get with the Blueberry Pro production service. And I'm excited about that. And of course, it will be pre-produced by the Blueberry Pro production team. And then going forward, this show that we're doing on a normal basis is also going, and I, you know, we're discussing, I said, we record this on Thursday morning and we want this to go out Thursday afternoon. Is that going to work? And I said, oh yeah, we can, we'll be able to turn it around. And I'm like, nice. Okay. So Mike, you know, that's almost a challenge. We'll have to see how the team does that. But I think in the most cases, they want to work on a, they'll work out the timeline, publishing timeline with any podcaster. So I think that's very, very cool. But anyway, that's what's going on. Also, we got some other stuff going on too. What else is happening?
Well, as Angelo and I talked about, PowerPress is being slowly upgraded over the next few months. And PowerPress 8.1 is in internal beta right now. That replaces the simple mode with a an onboarding scheme that actually, I think, is a lot easier, and it disappears after you're done with it. So it's not right in your way. And then you're onto the normal PowerPress stuff. And yeah, I think that's going to be a lot smoother for new PowerPress users. And it won't get in the way of those of us that have been using it forever.
Yeah, I think that it's going to be awesome, this new onboarding process for PowerPress users. So I think that it's you know, this is, again, we are walking through the entire UI. So I think by the end of the year, PowerPress is going to have a whole new look, because we got a whole bunch of stuff, you know, planned all the way through the end of, you know, by the time right after Christmas or right after New Year's.
Right.
So exciting stuff here.
Yeah. And then, of course, all right. See, there's an edit point for the team, right? Anyway, our holiday hours this year, we're a U.S.-based company, so we follow U.S.-based holidays. And so next week, the 28th, 29th, which is Thursday and Friday, is Thanksgiving, and Black Friday will be off. Christmas Eve and will be half day. Christmas Day will be off. New Year's Eve half day, and New Year's Day off. And then after January 2nd, back to normal business hours.
Awesome. So, yeah, the holidays start and people get into holiday mood. We'll have, you know, enjoy, I guess. I just lost my train of thought there. So
that's all
anyway,
right.
So this next, I guess we can get in the interview, right?
Yeah. It's interview time.
Okay. So, we've got Scotty Moore from the BS Network. I think you're going to enjoy this, this interview. And how many am I ahead right now, Mike? How many interviews do I have enough? Do we have enough to make it to the end of the year?
Oh, easy. Plus, I have a couple in there, too. And Scotty, by the way, I met him at Podcast Movement. He was in our contest for a promo. So I have a promo for him somewhere on my hard drive. So interesting
so,
guy.
Go ahead. So anyway, we'll play the interview, and then we'll be back with you some support wrap-up.
I want to welcome Scotty Moore to Podcast Insider. Scotty, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I tell you, you and I met at DragonCon, and what an event that was. A lot of fun. But I tell you,
I'm shocked you were able to remember DragonCon, because I barely remember it.
Yeah, I do remember. And I sat in on a lot of the sessions, and you were on a number of them. But today, I want to talk about you doing a number of shows, and you're doing a whole bunch of stuff, 4 or 5 different podcasts. But let's go back to, and I guess what we should do is give everyone a 411 on you as a basic introduction. Why don't you do that?
Yeah, I am the head honcho, as it were, of the BS Network. We're kind of a collection of shows focused on creativity through comedy and through improv. We do shows on pro wrestling and theme parks and fan fiction. We just started one that's a self-help podcast, but the one crux that we always try to come back to is focus on the creativity behind it. So when we talk about pro wrestling, we don't talk about like, well, he did a good punch in that match. We focus on the creative aspects behind it, the story building that goes into it. And the theme park podcast, we focus on the story elements and the creativity behind designing rides. So we always try to maintain a through line of creativity through everything we do.
Well, sounds like a lot of fun. So I always like to go back and get the the genesis moment of when you decided, hey, let me do a podcast. Can you take me back to that time and when that was, and give me that backstory?
I feel it's something that I always kicked around in my head, but I had never considered it an option. But essentially, I have the same origin that a lot of podcasters do, which is like I moved away from one of my best friends in the whole world, and I wanted to maintain contact, so we started a podcast so we could talk to each other. But what I've realized is that doing podcasting, it's helping me kind of achieve stuff that I've always wanted to do, because I've always wanted to be like a director and an actor and make these big grandiose films, but I don't have the budget for that. So if I ever had to make something, it would have to be like a small budget, small time thing, but I've always wanted to go bigger. And with a podcast and with the specific type of podcast we create, I can build these amazing grandiose stories. And I don't have to worry about paying for it because it's just words. And that, I feel like that wanting to do something like that started even before, I considered doing a podcast myself. It was listening to people like Kevin Smith doing Smodcast, and he was on the digital media track for Dragon Con as well. Justin Robert Young had a show called Weird Things that he did with Brian Brushwood and Andrew Main, and their shows had a lot of creativity and a lot of moments where they kind of deviated and just decided to start telling a story. And that's what I've always wanted to do, is just sit down and be able to tell a story to somebody. And that's what really led me to podcasting, is the fact that I can sit down and tell any story that I want to. And it doesn't matter about legal stuff. I don't have to clear it with Toby Keith's lawyers if I want to tell a fake fan fiction story about Toby Keith in some weird musical. I can do literally anything when it comes to podcasting. That's what drew me to it, was the almost chaotic Wild West nature of it.
You know, there was a point there that kind of resonated with me, because you said that, you know, to do a film short or even full featured is, you know, that's a big budget, a lot of money. And, you know, I remember being at NAB maybe 10 years ago, and we were actually there promoting Over the Top when Roku and those platforms were just getting started. And one of the folks that came up the booth, he told me, says, yeah, we're doing audio production and for audio drama, and we'll do a 10 show series for you for $200,000. And I kind of laughed, you know. The guy had no clue that at the time, you know, podcasters, you know, 10 years ago were not paying a penny for any production. People were not paying for post editing. They didn't have producers. You know, it was a lot of, you know, internal. Maybe you had an assistant if you were lucky. So it just kind of made me chuckle, because it reminds me that there is a segment of the online community that still works in these broad, big numbers. But still, you know, podcasting has its costs. But you're right, the barrier to entry is very, very low.
Mm-hmm. And I know multiple amazingly talented writers that they should be out there working on like the next Star Trek movie. Or, for instance, I'm on a audio drama called Relativity. I'm one of the voice actors on it. And the writer creator of that show, he's worked on Star Trek and he's worked on small projects before, but he's such an amazing writer that in order for him to get his voice heard and get it out, he had to do it on his own. And that way, so that's what podcasting allowed him to do, was to create his own story, his own little baby. And it didn't cost him the amount of money that doing an audio or doing a normal like space drama like a Star Wars would cost, but he still gets to tell his story. And that's what I love about it, is like the DIY nature of podcasting. You can really do it yourself if you sit down and focus.
And another thing too, he potentially created himself his own calling card, right? Because now people that get exposure to it, he could end up pulling a commercial gig and getting, you know, getting another spot on a big major motion picture or on a series. And that's ultimately the goal. So it's almost like he's created his own portfolio And
right.
So I think that's pretty exciting from that aspect too, for professionals that are looking to get their word out in the space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially like for me as a voice actor as well, like being able to point to all of these podcasts that I've have other friends who are voice actors and they're like, how did you build this portfolio? I got bored and I recorded a story of me talking about something. That's all it is. And thanks to that, I'm able to build this portfolio and I can point back to hundreds of hours of episodes of me either telling stories or doing character voices or whatever it takes. And I can point to anyone, any client out there who wants to hire me. I can point them to all of that.
Sure. Now, so what year did you actually start podcasting then?
We started in 2017, right after I moved to Florida.
Okay, so you've got a couple of years under your belt now. And the, yep. The type of content that you do, though, does it lean more towards having to do scripting? Are you scripting the episodes out, or is it mostly ad-lib, or you pick a topic and have talking points? What's your process for your shows?
So the main show, A Load of BS, is purely improvisational. The way we describe that show is two drunk businessmen at a bar coming up with their next great idea. And that's all it is us bringing to the table. Like, I want to make a fish out of water teen comedy. And then over the next 20 minutes, me and him will just go back and forth and brainstorm these weird, bizarre storylines and movies. And that one's purely improvisational. The only thing we do right now that's scripted would be the stories that are written for fun fiction. So at the end of those, I always write a fan fiction. We read those out. And we do... This is my favorite one to tell people because they always kind of stare at me in awe and in shock that I actually do this. But I do an audio drama as part of the wrestling show, and it is a pro wrestling audio drama. So it is literally the exact thing you would get if you watched wrestling, just without the visuals. So we have the commentary, we have matches happen, we have interviews, and we have entire storylines built up. So that's entirely scripted. So I script out all of our different interviews. I script out what needs to happen in the match, because early on in the podcast, we tried to fully improv it and just know, like, well, this character needs to prepare for the pay-per-view where he's going to fight against this guy. So just do what you can. And it wasn't coming out the way it needed to. So that was when I sat down and said, okay, we're going to script all of this. But other than that, I usually try to maintain a pretty lax, mostly improvisational style.
So on the show, on the wrestling show where you're doing the scripting out, I'm kind of curious, how do you keep that original? And number two, you know, because if you're writing scripts for stuff, it seems like it would be awful easy to get into a rinse-repeat mode where you're doing some of the same sticks again and again. So how are you keeping those episodes fresh from a content perspective?
Well, it's a matter of, and I feel like it, are you a pro wrestling fan?
I'm not, but okay. I've watched pro wrestling before.
The thing, a lot of people don't realize how intense pro wrestling can get and how varied and random certain storylines can be. And that's kind of what we lean into on that aspect of the show, is we lean into some of the absurdities and the randomness that can happen in pro wrestling. And we realized this a couple of months ago, is that since we don't have a visual for people to see, we could go insane with storylines. Whereas on WWE or something like that, they can't have someone magically rise from the dead or something like that. You can't have it because sure. it's so based in reality, you can't do it. But for us, since our show is all audio based, we can go into that bizarre world where I believe a couple of weeks ago, our champion of our company revealed himself to be the reincarnation of the god of the sea. And then his brother, who is a demon known as the Leviathan, was risen from the dead in the middle of the ring and destroyed the entire arena. You can't do that in normal wrestling,
no.
But we can do that because we don't have to pay for it.
That's right. So you can really get creative in the amount of storylines that you're coming up with, and truly yep. making it per se like wrestling meets paranormal meets science fiction. You can really get out there with some pretty crazy storylines.
Yeah. And we usually try to stick to realism every once in a while, but that main character we've always kind of, that main champion we've always kind of discussed, his nickname was the God of the JWF. So we decided to lean into that and be like, what if he actually was a god? So, but we still do maintain storylines that are normal.
Right.
So we do have like our normal basic characters, and one will return under a mask, even though he was kicked out of the company. And now there's a whole storyline about him being unmasked and stuff like that. So yeah, it's just a matter of looking at the past of pro wrestling, seeing what you can pull from it, and then seeing what we can add to it from other mediums.
Do you riff on the current, you know, current characters in pro wrestling? Do you go after in them by name, or do you make a new character up that resembles someone that's in real life today?
Are you talking about the process of creating the characters?
Yeah, yeah.
In the beginning, it was essentially just us riffing and coming up with different funny pro wrestler ideas and throwing them in.
Sure.
And then eventually it grew, and Fight Boys has half the show is reporting on real pro wrestling, and then the back half of the show is the audio drama. Mm. So people come for the news and then stay for the ridiculous stuff. But eventually it then grew to where we started a YouTube show. And it was based off of another YouTube show called Monster Factory, where they create different, basically weird characters and character creators in video games. So what we would do is strictly in the WWE game, break it down and make a new character every couple of weeks. And then we would slowly introduce those characters into the storyline. So not only did that way, people also got to see the origin of how they were created. So they could go in and be like, oh, this is why this character was created. This is their basis. This is their motivation. And once we threw them in, it wasn't a shock of who's this random Canadian they've thrown in. It's no, he's here. Just let him deal.
So to me, it sounds like you've had a lot of fun with this. How has your audience, how's your listeners reacted to, you know, let's, you know, I guess we're staying on the wrestling show. How have they reacted to that?
What's weird is the fact that I thought people would be coming for the wrestling news and staying for the audio drama. And what I found is it's almost the exact opposite, because we found a entire niche of the internet community that we did not know existed, but it is the digital wrestling community. It's people who I thought we were very original. I thought this was a completely original idea we were having. But it turns out there are people online who, through the video games, will build an entire roster full of characters and each week play the video game and build their own storylines there. And that's where we're getting most of our audience from, is from that community. So they're actually sticking around to see the storylines and seeing what interacts with them more than they are actually sticking around to see the wrestling news, which they'll see that because, A, it's the beginning of the show. Sure. And also, they're wrestling fans, so they're familiar with it. But there's so many wrestling podcasts out there that we knew we had to do something to set us apart. And now that something that's setting us apart is practically defining us as the digital wrestling guys.
So are these folks that are doing these digital characters online, are they adapting some of your characters as their own?
For the most part, no. The only person who does is actually one of our patrons on Patreon. His name is Gazi, and one day I was staying up and watching one of his streams and helping him out, and I just said, you know what, I want to fight that guy, because he had a character who was like this big, massive, hulking beast, and I'm an egomaniac. So I went, book me in a match against this guy here, and so I started sending him a few of our characters. And so now he's got me, one of our co-hosts, Blake, and a couple others that he gets to play with. But basically, it's because he had earned my trust at that point. But for the most part, each different person in the digital wrestling community has their own roster of characters that they have. These guys work insanely hard to create their own different rosters of wrestlers. And it shows because they have these amazing shows that they put on. And my favorite thing about it, and we actually started a show similar to it, is the fact that they allow the video game to do whatever it wants. They do not control any of the characters. So the complete and total drama and not knowing what's next of pro wrestling, it's real in those moments because everyone, including the person running the show, has no idea who's going to win or what's going to happen next. And that's the most fun part of it, I think.
Interesting. Yeah, really interesting. So it shows you this whole new dynamic, at least the folks that are listening to the show. You know, we've been talking to people that are doing business shows, self-help shows. This is more of a genre of a pure creativity and just really letting your imagination go and having this series of content. So are you finding then, because you are building a storyline, that people are going back to episode one to catch up? Because if you jumped in the middle, you'd kind of be lost, wouldn't you?
For the most part, I think the beauty of what we have is the fact that since we do have a commentary team acting as our narrators, before people come out each week, we do recap what's happened in the storyline up to that point. Ah. So it's not like we just say, okay, here's a guy in a mask and he calls himself the Hammer Man. Deal with that and figure that out. Instead, we pepper in small little bits of the story to help people understand. And we've had people go back and explore storylines up to that point and respond to us and be like, wow, I didn't know that was the origin of this person or that person. And we also have what I like to call little road markers, and it's the wrestling pay-per-views, which is about every time WWE does a pay-per-view, we do one as well that we create in the WWE video games. We put it out. And so that way, if anybody wants to know at least some semblance of storyline or at least the last big thing that's happened, they know exactly to go right there. Because with the podcast, it's just numbered episodes at this point. It's not exactly easy to find that solid point to go back to.
I gotcha. So you also do a show, and you just started a new show called Me Again, and that's more of a personal undertaking. What are you doing with that?
So Me Again happened the main reason it happened is because I got a new podcast host, and they allow me to do as many different podcasts as I want. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to do 50 different podcast ideas, because I'm sure, much like you, I've got like a docket on my phone full of different ideas for full-fledged podcasts that I just don't have the time to do. And one of them was Me Again. And basically the show is a self-help podcast about helping myself. So it started as just an accountability journal for me. So for me to every day not wake up and eat bad, or not to wake up and smoke a cigarette, basically because I didn't want at the end of the day to have to admit to all of my listeners that I did a bad thing. So it started out as an accountability thing for me. But as I started doing the show more and more, it became more of a self-help thing, because as I would mess up throughout the day, I would then, as I was talking about it, turn it into a lesson for the viewer or for the listener at home. So they would be listening and hear how I messed up, and then either figure out a way to help me, which would then subsequently help themselves, I would think, or I would in that moment figure out something that had gone wrong and give advice based on that.
So let's get into your fans a little bit and the feedback you get for your shows. So, you know, you're doing a wide genre of content. How have you felt that the development across the five shows or so that you're currently doing, how has the fan base developed, or do they follow you from one show to the next?
I genuinely didn't think they would, because, like I said, one of our biggest fans, Gazi, loves pro wrestling, huge pro wrestling fan. I never once thought that he would hang out for the theme park podcast and listen to the podcast where we talk about Disney World and Universal Studios. But one day we record all of our shows live on Twitch. I saw him pop up in the little corner and start talking and responding to the show and engaging with it. And that's what I found with most of the people. And I think it's because we also record on Twitch. Mm-hmm. So whereas with like a podcast, it's going to be a separate RSS feed. But through Twitch, no matter what, all it's saying is we're going live with the stream. Come hang out and watch if you want to. And I feel like BS is the most accessible one, because at that point, it's just going to watch us in our purest form be idiots for an hour in the funniest way possible. So everyone kind of will attract mostly to that one. And then based on if they want to stick around, they will transfer over to Fight Boys if they like wrestling. I've even had people who have no idea what pro wrestling is tune into Fight Boys and talk to us on that one. I've seen people jump over to the theme park show and stuff like that. And then Me Again's gotten the best response of any show I've ever done before, which I did not expect, because it's, once again, it is a show that I came up with half drunk in a hotel room after a wedding one night. And then I just went, okay, I don't need to worry about figuring out. I guess I can have a general format and that's it. But even with that general format, everyone's jumped over to it and everyone's responding to it. And I think it's probably because it's the most truthful I get on a podcast, because I feel like everyone has a character they play when they start a show. And since I have 5 podcasts, that means I have 5 different characters I can jump to and 5 different kind of like little spirits I embody when I go onto these different shows. And for Me Again, it's the most honest representation, I think, of who I am. And I think that's what's really helping people gravitate towards it.
One thing that we've noticed is a lot of folks that are doing streaming on Twitch are also running a Discord channel. Are you running a Discord channel?
I am running a Discord channel. As of right now, it is exclusively for our Patreon patrons, but I'm thinking about opening it up and just using Patreon as a way to get administrative status or something like that on the Discord. But as of right now, it's exclusively for our Patreon people.
Have you, as far as Patreon goes, then are you doing just support of the show? Because I know they changed that where you could do just support, where you don't have to come up with extra incentives. But are you doing an incentive model on Patreon?
As of right now, this has always been the thing that was hardest for me to figure out, because I'm thinking about splitting it apart, because as of right now, the entire network has a Patreon. We don't have individual show Patreons.
Sure.
But now that the shows are kind of growing and becoming their own thing, I do want to try to separate it out and see if I can catch more fish with multiple nets.
Mm-hmm.
But as of right now, yeah, the only really incentives we've offered at this point, we've got the Discord. We have the basic, like, your name would get read out on the show every single week. And also, we started a show up exclusive for the Patreon patrons, a show called You Paid for This. And it is a show where it's like a Mystery Science Theater or a Riff Tracks, if you're familiar with that, where we sit down and watch a bad movie on Netflix and commentate over it and make jokes the entire time. So it'll be movies that either we've like connected to, like the first one we did was, God, so bad, Larry the Cable Guy Health Inspector, which is we've made multiple jokes about it on the podcast. So we went, well, we have to do this one. And so we did that one. Then we did the movie Nothing But Trouble from the 90s. That is easily the worst movie ever made. And I think it's a fun thing because it helps people at home get to have like a movie night. And I feel like a lot of people who listen to podcasts love having that. Like, it's like having a friend with you when there's not a friend with you. And this is like the obvious progression of that is, yeah, we've talked for a while. Now let's watch a movie and hang out. So that's what You Paid for This is.
Well, I tell you, and there's plenty of bad movies on Netflix, so no shortage of content there.
Yeah, we I think it was a couple of months ago, we just scrolled through, picked a random movie and got lucky that it was bad. We were just like, oh, okay, we just guessed and it was horrible.
Yeah, even some of their premiere ones now, I started one the other day and I was like, I got through an hour of it and I said, oh my God, this is so bad. And I just like deleted it from the list. I said, never want to see that again. But yeah, so let's talk a little bit then about, you know, you're doing all these shows. You've got this great fan base. You're doing Twitch. You got the Patreon thing going on. What's this doing for you? What have some opportunities that have arisen from doing the show that came directly from doing the podcast?
From doing the pod? Well, my favorite one, and it's from the wrestling show, is, well, firstly, all the amazing stuff I got to do at Dragon Con, that was the main goal I had when I started podcasting, was to get to do a live show at Dragon Con, because the main show that inspired me to start was Night Attack with Justin Robert Young and Brian Brushwood. They were always, I call them the big party show at the end of Dragon Con. So a bunch of drunk nerds just huddle into a room and have fun for an hour with them. My goal was always to be in that spot. And this year, we got to be in that spot, and also Justin from Night Attack joined us on our panel. So that was one of the most amazing things that I got to do in that moment, was the fact that I had the guy who inspired me to start podcasting basically passing a torch, if you will, to me as I led the charge to the next generation of drunk idiots at Dragon Con.
That's
so
funny.
That was one of the awesome things I got to do. The other one, Jared, the guy who runs Podcast Movement, big fan of pro wrestling. And earlier this year, Podcast Movement, I think directly because of Jared, got to work with StarCast, which is a huge pro wrestling convention that happens around AEW, which is basically the new dog in town as far as pro wrestling is concerned. WWE has not had such intense competition in 20 plus years, and now the AEW's here, it's practically a war at this point. And we never thought we could go to an AEW show or do anything like that, because like, we live in Podunk, Alabama, and then our other co-host lives in the middle of Florida. We're like, unless they come to our town, there's no way we're gonna be able to do it unless we have a reason to go. And one day I was talking to Jared and I went, don't you guys have a podcast thing at StarCast? He goes, yeah, here's the application. And we got in. So we got to perform our podcast live in the middle of Las Vegas, then got to go to the first pay-per-view of the next greatest pro wrestling company in existence. We also got to meet a bunch of great friends. Like, for that show, we brought on, his name's Megaran. He's a rapper. He loves pro wrestling. We brought him on the panel, and now he's great friends. He's invited us to be on his show, Matt Mania. In fact, we flew down to Daytona Beach and got to go to another AEW show and got to go do another live podcast. And it's just, this year has been insane with the different amount of opportunities. And I truly think it's because of all the connections I made. Because before this year, other than Dragon Con, I was the quiet kid in the back corner. And then this year, I was like, no, I'm going to kick in the door and start screaming at people. And so I went to just about every podcast convention I could go to this year, and I made so many great connections, from like Jared to a bunch of podcasters from the Radish podcast, Horseshoes and Hand Grenades. Of course, Todd Cochran, the great Todd Cochran. I've made all these great connections, and through that, it's allowed me to have all of these. Like, I'm going to Google tomorrow.
Oh, that's
cool. I'm going to Google to talk to, and that's something I never thought I would be able to do. And I love bragging to people at work and just being like, you know, your boy's going to Google tomorrow, right? They're like, okay.
Can you say what you're going to Google for?
It's talking about podcasting. Basically, they're coming down to Atlanta and kind of want to talk about podcasting in the Southeast and like the Atlanta area. So I'm jumping over there and I'm going to go talk to them for a few about podcasting and the different problems that arise and what would help us, what would hinder us, stuff like that.
Well, if I have any advice for you, tell them that Google needs to put a podcasting app in the Android OEM deliverable, so it's natively on the Android app. What we need. But
I remember swapping to Android and then immediately being like, and this was after I'd started podcasting, I swapped to Android and went, where are the shows? Right. Where do I find the shows at?
Yeah. So, well, good luck with the discussions with Google. I'd love to hear a follow-up on you on how that went. Mm-hmm. So, Scotty, how can they find you? What's the best contact information?
You can. I'm mostly on Twitter for the most part, being a screaming idiot. You can find me there at Scotty Mo, ScottyMo. And all of the different programs I do are at aloadofpurebs.com. That's where you can find all the BS Network shows. And then also check out the Relativity podcast. It just started its fifth season, and my character basically saves the world. He's the greatest hero. He becomes the Incredible Hulk and throws a rock into space. Does that sound believable? Do you think?
Sure.
Do you think they'll? Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you coming on Podcast Insider. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. Good luck with your podcast with an S. And yes. Keep having fun. That's what it's really all about, right?
Oh, yeah. Have that fun.
All right, Josh. Scotty, thank you so much for being on the show. All right. I want to thank Scotty for taking time to do an interview with us. And you get more information on Scotty. Of course, you can go to
a load of pure BS.com.
Yeah, a load of pure BS.com. So anyway, we need to triple check that domain name. So anyway, Mike, you got some support stuff. So what's going on there?
Not too much. And rather than make this a complaint thing, I figured, you know what, let's make this instructional this time. So a lot of people will email or contact us by phone or whatever and say, how come I'm not on X application? You know, like, why am I not on Spotify? Why am I not on this one or that one or the other one? Okay, well, in PowerPress, if you're using PowerPress, and we certainly hope you are, there's a destinations folder or a destinations tab in the settings. And right next to each of the destinations is a little link that says get on whatever, except for the Google one, which says learn more about Google podcasting. But all those have instructions on how to get on the various networks. And then once you're on there, you just take your listing address and plop it into the blank provided, and you'll have links on your subscribe page under your player on a widget that we provide. But the instructions on getting on all these places are right there. Just a click, get on whatever in the destinations tab of your PowerPress settings.
Yeah, that and it makes it easy. That way you don't have to, it's just a one and done, right?
Yeah, and each one of them slightly different. And, we kind of explain that on our informational pages. And if you're not using PowerPress, you can go to create.blueberry.com currently and look up, put submit to in the search box, and it'll give you all those pages that we also link to in the destinations tab.
So, so that's very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. And I think that, the ability to have your show wherever you want to have it, that's the main difference between us as well. We don't submit your show to a multitude of places, and then you lose control of your shows. You get to submit where you want to be, and that works out well. Anything else in your support stack, Mike?
Yeah, a couple other things. Episode artwork, that's been a question a lot lately. There are a couple of places you can put artwork. There's an episodic level quote-unquote iTunes image tag that you can put in the RSS feed. And we have provisions to do that in both our generator system and on PowerPress. And you can also put it in the ID3 tags and actually embed the image into the MP3 file. But what frustrates people is not all the apps use those. Apps like Apple Podcasts app on iOS does not use those images, even though Apple invented the tag iTunes image. Not there. They use the overall show image. The only time that shows on Apple is in search results if an episode comes up in search results. And it's a really dinky, tiny little image. And I don't, it's hardly worth the work, to be honest with you. But some other apps do show it in different places. I did a podcast episode on my show about, which ones do what and which ones show what, what image. And, it's just a list. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But, suffice to say, some apps use it, some apps don't. And I wouldn't lose a whole lot of sleep over it.
Right. What else is in your stack?
And then the last thing, we talked about it a little bit last week, but it has been implemented. We have new phone support hours, Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And then 9 to 5 on Friday. No sense sticking around late on Friday, I guess. But anyway.
Yeah.
And at some point, we're going to get some Saturday hours in there. We've got another team member that will probably do a few hours on Saturday from time to time. So
9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 on Friday. And, of course, 7 day a week email support.
Yep.
So,
and
outstanding.
Tickets and whatever, you know, our contact form over at blueberry.com/contact.
So if you're on the East Coast, that means you could call as late as really about 3:30. I mean, West Coast. If you're on the West Coast, you could call about 3:30 would be about the latest. Best thing to do is schedule an appointment, right?
Oh, yeah. And you can always get with me and we can schedule you up an appointment. And now that I have Dave working full time and working the phones, I've expanded the amount of time I do one-on-one calls. So
that's nice. All right. Well, there you go. So today we've talked about Spotify in the news and Forbes and, of course, the indie podcasters, still getting plenty of love from listeners. Talk about the best practice of doing an ebook and some blueberry news on our pro production. All this information you can find on the podcastinsider.com website, which is soon going to be consolidated with our other website that we have. So we're trying to get that done.
Yeah.
A little behind. And then PowerPress 8.1 soon. I don't know. Did he actually say when they're going to release that?
If nothing it goes crazy, it should be next week sometime.
It's nice. And, of course, talk about our holiday hours and the interview and support stuff. So that takes us to the end of Podcast Insider. So, everyone, thanks for being here. Todd, I'm Todd at blueberry.com.
And I'm Mike at blueberry.com.
Don't forget about those free consults. And again, I do a number of them a week. And just so I get to send me an email, say, Todd, I'm going to do a consult. I'll put you in the list and we'll get you scheduled up. But thanks so much, Mike. We'll get out of here. Everyone have a good week in podcasting and have a happy Thanksgiving. For those of you that are in the United States, of course, Mackenzie will be back with you next week with a special edition, which we'll probably release on, I would assume, Tuesday or Wednesday. It's going to come out early.
Yeah,
so
a little
bit. So, but anyway, we'll have that up for you. Everyone, thanks for being here. We'll see you next time.